Turn with me to Genesis chapter number 12, if in the Word of God, Genesis chapter number 12. Genesis chapter number 12. Our text of Scripture will be Genesis 12, 13, and Genesis 22. And this is, I think, our fourth message, if I'm not mistaken, on it's time to seek the Lord. And just picking some texts of Scripture, I don't have any plans whatsoever, don't have any format that I'm following. I'm just going week by week, just studying on seeking the Lord and prayer and just trying to follow the leadership of the Lord. Don't have any format, don't know what I'm going to preach next week, don't know if I'm going to preach it is time to seek the Lord next week. I guess I'm just seeking the Lord, to be honest with you, just trying to mind the Lord and the leadership of the Holy Spirit as the pastor, and I pray that this one is right. It has spoke to me for sure. It's brought some things back to my mind that I needed for my own life, and I pray that I can relate those to you out of the Scriptures today. If you have your place in Genesis chapter number 12, say amen. Good, good. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot with him. And get a grasp of this, if you would please. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land, that's Abram. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. Now go with me to verse number 4 of chapter 13. Unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. Turn over with me to verse number 14 of the same chapter. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Hold your place there in 12 and 13, and turn with me to Genesis chapter number 22 and verse number 9. Genesis 22 and verse number 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And back to Genesis chapter number 12. Did anybody notice something that we read that was repeated? Altars are being built, right? In Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 7, God speaks to Abraham and appears to Abraham, and Abraham builds he an altar unto the Lord and appeared unto him. He moves in verse number 8 and he builds an altar in verse number 8. He goes away from the Lord. The Lord tests him. He goes to Egypt and he gets back to the place he ought to be after not doing what he ought to do. And in verse number 4, what's he doing in verse number 4 of chapter 13? Building an altar, right? And then you go down there in verse number 18, he builds an altar again. And then in chapter number 22, towards the end of his life, he builds the altar of altars for his son Isaac, right? He builds an altar in Genesis 22 and verse number 9. I'm going to preach a little while on altar building. Altar building. Abraham was a mighty man of prayer. Everywhere he went, he was praying, calling upon the Lord. He built his altars to God, and God met him there. Maybe that's one of the reasons why he was called the friend of God. Think of that. God, You know, we know that God is our friend. He's a friend of sinners. Aren't you glad of that? Oh, come on now, church. It's got to be better than that, you know? Aren't you glad God, a holy God's a friend of you? He's a friend of sinners, of publicans and sinners. That was the accusation against him. But it's a whole other thing to think about you being a friend of God. Your relationship is so close and fellowship is so close and prayer that you're a friend of God. That was Abraham. He was an altar builder, and because he was an altar builder, he was altar blessed. I want you to remember this phrase. Those that are altar builders are altar blessed. Those that build altars and worship God and pray and seek His face will also be altar blessed. Those that are altar builders are altar blessed. If you understand what a boy from Arkansas is talking about, lift your hand up. Those that are altar builders are altar blessed. Because Abraham was building altars, he was altar blessed by God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:13, and I want you to write this in the flyleaf of your Bible next to the altar verse in verse number 7 and 8 of chapter 12. Write this reference. 1 Corinthians 9:13. 1 Corinthians 9:13. Those that wait at the altar are partakers of the altar. What a verse. Those that wait at the altar are partakers of the altars. If you wait at the altar and you believe at the altar and you trust God at the altar and you're on your knees at the altar, you'll be blessed by the altar. You'll be partakers of the altar. It's good to know that I'm not, it's good to know, isn't it, that we're not taking care of ourselves, but we just go to the altar and we trust God for it. He's not going to fail us, is he? No, we got to make sure we stay at that altar. And we don't go down to Egypt like Abraham did. And then when we do that, we've got to build us another altar. We've got to get right with God. Those that are altar builders are altar blessed. I don't know the story in detail. And if somebody would like to tell me the story of it, I really do want to know. But all I know is the Rochesters have something they call the Old Rock Altar. Who knows that to be true? Raise your hand. You've heard of that. Few hands go up. But it was Brother Brady's grandfather that erected an old rock altar in South Carolina. They said it's still there. And it's there that he met with God and he prayed for his family to be used of God for generations to come. It was there he met with God and he begged God to use him and generations to come. And if you know anything about the Rochesters, they're probably in different churches all across America singing and preaching for the Lord this morning because a grandfather said, I'm not going to just be haphazard about it, but I'm going to build me an altar out in the woods somewhere, and I'm going to get along with God, and I'm going to beg God to be merciful and gracious to not only my family, but to my family's family and generations to come. And guess what? Because he built an altar, he was altar blessed. And I still believe those that build altars are altar blessed. I'm not talking about new cars necessarily. There's something more greater, something better than a shiny new car and the leather that smells new. Something that's a greater blessing. It's children and children's children serving the Lord in the generations to come. Can I get a witness in God's house? Sure. That old rock altar, it's still there today. By the way, that's what an altar does. It stays there. It's a mark of permanence. And sometimes when you build an altar in your life, you've got to go back to it to remind yourself, oh, that's where I meet God. That's where God told me this and not God told me not to do this. And we return to those places. Do you have an altar built? Do you have a place where you meet God? Do you have a closet that God told you to enter into? He said, enter into thy closet, and when I enter into thy closet, shut the door and pray. Do you have a closet? Do you have an altar? We're busy building houses. We're busy building lives. We're busy building families. We're busy building bank accounts. Some of us are even busy building bodies, bodybuilders. Some of us are busy building bank accounts, but I wonder if we're busy building altars. Stone upon stone. Commitment upon commitment, confession upon confession, praise upon praise. We're building altars up unto God. Boy, I want to tell you right here, look in my eyeballs, because if I've got your eyeballs, I've got your ears. Look at here. Oh, there you go. I don't know who I'm talking to, whether this be over the airwaves or whether this be in the congregation, but if you've never put the alt, if you've never put down the stone of salvation in your life, there's no reason to build upon anything else, because Jesus is the rock that you build your whole life on. In Jesus, He is no sinking sand. He is the foundation of our lives. He is the cornerstone. He is the rock. I want to ask you, is your eternal life built on Jesus? Could you say today, if I died right now, I believe I'd go to heaven? Preacher, you can't know that. Oh, yes, I can, because He's my rock. I can stand on Jesus. All other ground is seeking sand, but my hope and my trust is in none other than the rock, the Lord Jesus. He's the rock of my salvation. Do you have that assurance in your heart? How do you get that? Not from an experience. You get that from the rock, Christ Jesus, and the written word of God and the promises of God. If you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven? Well, I got to do certain things. I got to do this. No. I got to be better than somebody else. No, your works have to outweigh your good deeds have to outweigh your bad deeds. No. Jesus said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Are you saved? Is that rock down? That's where you build the whole other altar upon the one rock, the Lord Jesus. Are you saved? But for us that are saved, we should be in the business of building an altar to God. Stone upon stone. We're busy doing everything else, but we're a long way from the simplicity of life of altar building. I saw a picture on Facebook. Can you believe I actually have a Facebook account? Some people look at a pastor and think, man, he don't do anything. You know, I actually got a Facebook account. Who's got Facebook in here? Yeah, be careful. Really, be careful. But I've got a Facebook account, and I was scrolling through it the other day, Miss Lynn, and I saw a picture that somebody posted of an old truck. And they were driving down the interstate, and everybody was far ahead of them because the truck wouldn't go fast enough, I guess. And there was an old couple sitting in that truck next to each other. Passenger seat, you know those bench seats? You used to have them bench seats, right? And that there was an empty seat next to the passenger seat, and this old couple was sitting next to each other. And the husband was driving, the wife was sitting right next to him. And the meme or whatever said, "You're blessed by things money can't buy." And then I went down. That's not the point, though. That's true, amen. Thank God for a family, amen. That's not the point. I think that's so true. That's value right there. And I went down, and then about the third or fourth swipe or whatever you do down, somebody had posted a picture of a family in their living room, all down on their knees, praying. I tell you what, that's what America needs. And if you're not doing it in your family with your wife and your children, that's what you need. That's what you got to have. A family that prays together stays together. I don't care if it's just you and her and you're 80 or 20. You need to pray together. I don't care if it's as many as we got and we got six of them. We all need to get together and pray together. It doesn't matter. I don't care if there's two in your household or 12 in your household. We're going to build an altar together to God, because when you do that day after day after day, there's an unconscious preparation in the life of that child, and a mom and dad stay in unity together, and that will never return void in your life. When you build that altar to God, who in here tonight say, "Yeah, Brother Justin, I need to be better at building altars than I do." Come on now. Yeah, that's exactly right. It's not just, it's for all of us altar builders. That's something money can't take away. Let's talk about Abraham a little bit, get our nose back in the text of Genesis chapter number 12. God's told Abraham at 75 years old to leave what is comfortable and what is familiar to him and separate himself. He was an idolater. He's a pagan worship, right? And this Canaanite is going to go into a land where God tells him he has to live by faith. He leaves family and friends. He's believing the promise of God. And he becomes, because he obeys, he becomes the father of faith. And he builds an altar when the Lord appears to him in verse number 8. There's two things I want you to notice before we get into these altars, though. I want you to notice something besides the altar that I think is interesting. something that preached to me, something that spoke to me. I want you to notice it. Wherever Abraham goes, he just doesn't have an altar. He's got something else always with him. He just doesn't have an altar. I wonder if you can notice what else he's got with him. Look at verse 8, chapter 12. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, and there built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. He's got that tent and he's got that altar. Okay? He's got the tent and the altar. That tent speaks of, I'm not staying here long because God told me way back, he said, wherever I tell you to go, go. Where I speak, you go. I'm not building an empire. I'm not building a city. I'm not building a house. I'm just going to live in a tent. I'm not going to put them down too deep either. I'm just going to build a tent. My dear friend, we're just strangers and pilgrims passing through this world, foreigners, peculiar people. This world is not our home. This world is not your home. And let me tell you, if you think this world is your home, you're living in a nasty home. If you think this world is your friend's going to be good to you, you're going to get surprised. This world will eat you up and spit you out because the evil one is the master of this world. Live in a tent, but have Jesus in the tent. Live in a tent, but have prayer in the tent. Live in a tent, but have love in the tent. And don't put those tent stakes down too far. He had a tent. That said he was a pilgrim and a stranger and not of the world, but he also had an altar everywhere he went. The altar meant, yeah, I'm not the world, but the altar said, I am the Lord's. I belong to him. I'm erecting this, letting everybody know that I pledge my allegiance to him, that I am God's. He's the one that called me out. And by the way, he's the one that called us out of this world. He's the one that called us out of our sin. That day that he saved our soul, he said, you're yours no longer. You're the world's no longer. I've redeemed you. Hey, I bought you by my blood, and I've got a new purpose for you. I've got a new life for you. And why don't you just get a tent? Don't get it down too far. Don't get into this world too much. Just live free from this world and erect your altars everywhere you go. That means he belongs to the Lord. He was an altar builder. Now he built those altars, and where he went, he built. As he moved that tent, his home, and everywhere he moved the tent, he built that altar. Life happens. God moves you. Life happens, and God doesn't have to move you. And you get moved in your heart. Things happen. There's events in life where you know that you don't need to just keep going the way you've been going. You need to stop and build an altar. You need to stop and pray. Life happens. We build, but what are we building? We climb this ladder of success many times. Does us no good, but are we building altars? The Bible says something about these altars. God tells us not to do something when we build these altars in Exodus 20 and verse 25. Listen to this real close. If thou shalt make an altar, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up an iron tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Now, I'd like to preach an hour on that right there, but I'm not going to do it. I'm telling you what I'm bowling over with that. God says, you're going to build me an altar, but you don't get the iron out, and you don't polish and break and make those rocks all smooth so they'll stack up all neat so everybody say, what an altar Abraham built. That's religion. God doesn't accept the works of our hands and our cute little things that we do. God accepts what he's already provided. God had the rocks already around Abraham so Abraham could build an altar. And God said, I don't want you putting no iron to it. I want you to just go around, pick up the rocks, and build an altar just out of normalness, just out of plainness, just out of genuineness. I don't want you to put no iron on it. This doesn't even go for Abraham. Anybody that builds an altar, you don't put anything to it. Look here. You are, and your life is awkward. You're a little bit different. You think of your life, oh, God could never use me. I'm not smooth. I'm awkward. I've had a bad past. God doesn't know my past and all that I've done, and I've got scars to prove it, and I've got things that nobody else knows about, and God can never use me. Let me tell you something. God doesn't necessarily use the smooth stones. He uses the stones that are awkward. You put your life on the altar of God, and God will use you just the way you are. Stop trying to fix yourself, and stop trying to hide behind things and cover yourself up on things, and just give yourself to God the way you are, and God will use you as a holy thing unto Him. Many times our circumstances in our life are rough, and we got to give them to God the way that they are and let Him take care of them. Some of you in here tonight, you're trying to fix everything in your own power and your own strength. You need to stop doing that. You need to start worshiping the Lord and surrender your rocks to the Lord. Surrender those rocks that are not smooth, those rocks that are awkward. Say, but they all won't stack up together. They'll all fall apart. No, they won't. If it's on God's altar, He'll somehow build it all together so they'll be right. I don't know what I'm preaching today, but I'm telling you what, somebody surely has to need what I'm talking about right here. See, we want to fix everything. No, you just take your circumstances, take your life, and what God has provided you, that's all He wants is you. You stop trying to fix it, and you give your life to God the way you are. But the problem with building an altar, you know what the altar represents? Surrender. The problem with people not building an altar is they won't surrender. Building an altar sounds good, but that altar means surrender. I surrender all. God doesn't accept the works of our hands. He's already provided everything to build the altar. That's the point of Exodus 20 and verse 25. I want to look at some altars this morning. The first altar I want to look at is the altar of praise. In Genesis 12, Abraham's 75 years old. I'm not going to ask for some hands, but there's some people that are in the sunset of their life. And you think, God can never use me. You need to read the Bible, friend, because God used a lot of people in the sunset of your life, and Abraham being one of them, 75 years old. I believe Abraham built this altar for praise. The Lord appears unto Abraham, verse 7, and there building he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He built an altar. I believe when the Lord appears to Abraham, he's overwhelmed, astonished, like anybody would do in the presence of God. And he says, there's only one right thing to do. I'm not going to give him something cheap. I'm going to go out here. I'm not just going to talk to him, but I'm going to go out here and get these rocks, and I'm going to stack something up. Maybe he knew something about the first man that built an altar. His name was Noah. And he went out there, and he built an altar unto God, an altar of praise. And he took something together, and he said, I wanted something to show that I'm grateful that the Lord has appeared to me, called me out, and given me something to do. And I want Him to know I'm grateful for it. You know, we all need to build altar of praise. All through life, not just one time. Just keep stacking those stones on. And you know, those stones all look different, Miss Deanna. Sometimes we get something new. We get a job promotion and we say, I just like thank the Lord that I got a new promotion for my job and I want to give Him the glory. And the church says, amen. That's great. But sometimes those stones we put on the altar of praise are not so smooth. Sometimes it's a feeble. I just praise the Lord, even though I've got cancer. And even though they've only given me 6 weeks to live, I want to praise the Lord that His grace has been sufficient for me. And He's been my constant companion. I don't know what I'd do without the Lord, but I want to praise Him for His presence. You see what I'm talking about? What praise are you building up? They all look different, don't they? Sometimes those stones that we put on that altar, they're not very refined, they're not very polished, but I think God accepts those just as much as He does the other ones. An altar of praise. Then I see here in verse number 8, an altar of prayer. And he removed from thence unto Bethel on the east of, and he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord. And what did he do? And called upon the name of the Lord. That's most obviously an altar of prayer. He calls upon the name of the Lord. He made a prayer altar. The Bible says this, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything in his name, he heareth us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 14. I don't know about y'all, but I have to travel from time to time. Some of you have been traveling here lately. But I don't know about y'all, but if I'm going to go for 12 hours, a full day's ride, I'm not going to drive the whole entire day and not stop. I'm going to have some stops. I don't know about anybody else, but Brother Curtis, I've got to have some Scooby snacks along the way. Yeah, Scooby snacks. You can, if you know me well enough, you know what that is. Something sweet and a cup of coffee to keep me going. I'm not going to probably drive about 2.5-3 hours, and I'm going to stop. I might not have to have a full meal, but I'm going to have to get some Scooby snacks along the way to kind of keep me going, okay? I'm going to have to stop. I'm going to have some stops. Look here, church. You can't travel in this life and not stop and pray. You've got to build your altars throughout the day. You say, I'm on low. I'm on E. Well, have you been with God? Have you built an altar? Have you prayed? Have you read your Bible? That all starts in the morning. That's where that daily altar's built. That starts in the morning. And then through the day, there's stop signs that say, stop, pray. I probably wouldn't drive 12 hours. At least I'd stop about 3 or 4 times if I drove 12 hours. But people can go all day and another day and another day. Oh, it's Sunday. I'm going to go get my Bible that's been sitting on my dashboard in the back seat, folded over, and I'm going to go to church. We need to build some altars if that's you. That's not what Jesus desires for your life. We've forgotten them days without number, the prophet said. What would look different in your life? Maybe this will help you. You wake up in the morning, you pray, you read your Bible, and then you decide, I'm going to pray 6 times in the day. Don't look at me like a calf in a strange gate. That shouldn't be abnormal. Jesus said to pray without ceasing. Can I get a witness? That's not anything weird. Just to help you. And at 10 o'clock, you stop. And you breathe a prayer. And you get in the presence of God. And then at lunch, you pray at noon. And then about 2 or 3 o'clock, you do the same thing. And then the evening, about 6 o'clock, you pray at noon. And then you gather your whole family around and you end the whole day in prayer. Is that what your day looks like? Sort of. It might not be regimented like that. But maybe you need to start that habit so you can get in the spirit of prayer. What is that called? That's called intentionally building an altar. Look here. You don't build altars on accident. You pick a stone up and you stack one upon another and you're building a whole altar to God saying, God, I need you. That's why we pray. God, I want your presence. That's why we pray. And we build an altar there and call upon the name of the Lord. I don't know who said this. It's not original with me, but somebody said, is your prayer life your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is your prayer life a steering wheel or your spare tire? That's a good question. Well, it's your spare tire if you're not praying all through the day. But if it's your steering wheel if you pray throughout the day. Somebody said, I said to you a couple weeks back ago, somebody will say, I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? If anybody doesn't know how to talk in here, raise your hand. Everybody knows how to talk, right? Everybody does. Then we know how to talk to God all day. We can leave in the spirit of prayer. Now, Abraham's at the right spot. He's getting blessed to God. And let me tell you something. When God blesses you, you can expect God to try you. Every time God blesses, he's going to try me. Every time God's good to me, woohoo! God's going to come around. He's going to test me. God tests Abraham with a famine. I want to see where his faith is. He tests him with a famine, and he fails the test, by the way. He lied about his wife, right? No. chapter 13. And where does he go? Where he's not supposed to go. He goes down to Egypt. Read about it in Genesis 13, 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt. That's when he's coming back. But in verse number 10 of chapter 12, and Abram went down into Egypt after that famine to sojourn there. The famine was grievous in the land. He went down to Egypt. Let me tell you, if you're in this world and your mind's in this world and you're living after in this world, your life is down. It's not up with Jesus. And you need to build an altar to get back where you need to be. This next altar is in chapter number 3. Chapter number 13 and verse number 4, excuse me. After he's been to Egypt, he knows he's been wrong. The Bible says, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, there Abraham called upon the Lord. Where's that at? Bethel in verse number 3, where he had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai. See that there? That's what we just read about. He had to return back to the place where he met God originally, and he built an altar there. Look here. This is not only the altar of praise and the altar of prayer, but it's the altar of pledging. He's saying in his heart, I'm not going to do what I did before. I'm sorry for what I did, and I want to do right. This is an altar of pledging, a place where he had made before, the altar that he had made before, verses 3 and verses 4. He'd been down to Egypt. God had taught him a few things, but now he's returning to this altar, which represents a pledge. He calls upon the name of the Lord again. This altar, Abraham's saying, I failed. I've sinned. I've messed up. Let me tell you, your mess up's not too big for God's grace. Your problem's not too big for God's grace, but your stubbornness might be. You got a will. You still got to go back to God. He won't make you build an altar. He won't make you get out of Egypt. You've got to get out of Egypt, and you've got to go back to the place where you were close to God, and you've got to do what you know to do is right, and you've got to put your own stones on the altar. I'm not really interested in having some sort of invitation and the whole church prays because it means nothing. I'm serious, and God's serious about somebody who will build back the altar that they once had because they've been living in the world and living in Egypt. Boy, it's quiet. Seed must be sown real good. I'm not trying to beat nobody. I'm trying to help you. God's not going to make you do anything. God's never made a man do anything. We've got a will. And Abraham had to get his tail up out of Egypt and go back to the place where he met God. And there's somebody, and somebody's in here this morning. You know what to do is right. You've got to get out of Egypt and get back to the place where God met you to start with. There was a time when you weep on this Bible. There was a time you prayed for sinners. There was a time when you talked to God and God talked to you and his nearness was so sweet, it was intangible. It was tangible, you felt it. And the world and the flesh and the devil has pulled you away from that altar, and you need to repent, turn to God, get right with God, and start building an altar of pledges to God. Lord, by thy help and by thy grace, I'm giving it all back to you like I was a child at camp. Oh, not me. I'm 30. Abraham was 75. 75. Oh, pray for those young people. They need to get right with God. Some parents need to get right with God if the young people are ever going to get right with God. Some grandparents need to get an altar built if the grandchildren and children are going to get right with God. Say, oh, me at least, or amen. Right? An altar of pledging. That's what he did. Come in repentance and pledge by God's grace that you'll be different. I tell you, friend, he says, seek me while I can be found, for I will abundantly pardon. Isaiah is what's on my mind right here. Isaiah chapter number 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he is may be found. Call upon him while he's near. What's that mean? God's speaking to your heart right now. Don't turn it away another day. Seek him while he's near. Call upon him while he may be found. He's speaking to you right now. He's coming next to your seat and pulling the heartstrings your heartstrings right now. He's saying, hey, you've been dibbing around in this. You've been playing with the world, and you're not what you used to be. He's being jealous for you. He's loving you. And he says, call upon me while I may be found. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He wants to help you. He wants to get you back. But he's going to say, but you got to call upon me while I'm near. You got to seek me while I'm right here. He runs up and down Baptist church pews Sunday after Sunday. But he won't get anybody down at an altar. He won't get you to make a prayer closet on Monday. He won't make you read your Bible on Tuesday. You've got to do that to build that altar. See, God chastened Abraham in Egypt. And I'll tell you something. If you chase the world, God will chasten you. He'll whip you. And if he doesn't whip you, you're not his child. If he don't whip you and you go out into the world and you live for the world and you listen to the world's music and you listen to the world's media and you put that garbage into your mouth and you live for the world and your mind is set on the world more than it's set on Jesus, he'll whip you and take you to the woodshed, and you've known you've been with God then. But if he don't whip you, you're a bastard and not a son. That's what the Word of God says. So if he's talking to you now, I want to tell you, come to Jesus and he will abundantly pardon. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I'm one that's went away many times, but I went back to a loving heavenly Father that loves me more than I can ever dream of. He's a merciful, merciful Savior. But I still had to come back and I still had to pledge. Christian life is just a series of new beginnings. If you think since you've been saved, you've just went up and up and up and you've never had any down spots, you are confused, I promise you. I'm telling you what, this old boy right here has fallen many a times, but by the power and grace of God, I got back up in his grace and I got back up in his mercy. If you feel like saying amen right now, that's exactly what you need to do. You need to say amen and give God the glory. It's not my story. I haven't been climbing each and every day and never had any falls. I've had some, and Jesus has picked me back up. The Christian life is a series of new beginnings. And you might need a new beginning this morning. What you're going to do? You're going to build an altar to God and say, by your grace and by your power, I'm going to get up again. And I'm going to move on for the glory of God. Here's what I've done wrong, Lord. This is where I've sinned. I'm not reading my Bible. I'm not praying. It's time to seek the Lord. Say it, church. It's time to seek the Lord. Build an altar. I think about got all those roots out of that ground that time. I think it tore up the ground pretty good on that point right there. I think we'll go to the next one. I felt a couple roots, and so I just kept on tilling. Who knows what I'm talking about when you're tilling the ground and you get into that stuff and that thing's just beating you to death. Who's ever tilled ground like that before? I'm from Arkansas. I know about it. They got more rocks in Arkansas than they do soil. Seriously, y'all don't know even what I mean by that. I mean, it's awful. You put that tiller in the ground and that thing will shake you all over the place. Sometimes when you're preaching, the ground gets a little rough, but God told me to tear up the fallow ground. Row it up. God's merciful. God's gracious. But I tell you what, he won't make you do what you know to do is right. You've got a will. Come and make a pledge to him and start a new life again. Oh boy. Now we got to get back over here to Genesis. When you get a preaching storm coming on, you lose your place in the Bible. The winds blow the pages. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. This is a place of possession. I'm just going to read this quickly. It's an altar of possession. God speaks to Abraham again about the Abrahamic covenant. And when he hears it, he removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, verse 18 of chapter 13. Which is in Hebron, built there an altar unto the Lord. God promised him something. Let me tell you something real quick and we'll move right on. God's got your whole life before you at the altar. God's got the plan for you at the altar, not in the pew. At the altar, God's going to tell you what you can receive from him. Because at the altar is a place of surrender. And until you surrender, God's not going to tell you what he wants you to do. Some of you are asking, well, what the Lord wants me to do? He don't want you to do anything. He just wants you to surrender. You're trying to figure out what God wants you to do. He wants you to come to Him and tell Him, I'll do whatever. Everybody tracking? He's not going to tell you what to do until you surrender. And then He's going to tell you, I've got this land for you. Now, turn to the end of the account in Genesis 22. And remember, those that are altar builders are altar blessed. He's got a possession for you. Genesis chapter number 22. And verse number 9. So, you know, relate if you can. God's asked you to sacrifice your own son. What in the world? What? Is that what happened? Sure it did. And you might ask yourself the question, how in the world does Abraham even consider to be willing to offer Isaac? Well, first of all, he believed God because he said God will provide himself a lamb. Amen? He said that in verse 5. But even at that, it's still by faith, right? He's still got to trust God to it. He's got his son, brother. He's got his son on the altar with the wood, with the knife. It's cutting time. It's fire time. Let's go. He's there. How does a man become willing to sacrifice all that in obedience to the Lord? We'll come back to that. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. It's fire time. Not just stones, but wood. You understand that? His hair. How does a man get to that place where he's willing to do that for the Lord? Look right here. Maybe, just maybe, church. Maybe, just maybe, Abraham looked back on all those chapters. And he went back to chapter number 12 and he said, I was a pagan and idolater before, but God showed up and chose me to be the father of faith and chose me to be the man to follow Him. And I wasn't anything before, but God just happened to choose me. Maybe, just maybe, that's what he thought. He remembered Genesis 12 when God appeared to him when God had never appeared to him before. Do you remember when God appeared to you and saved your soul? When you weren't looking for God, God was looking for you. I'm telling you what, that's what'll make you do things for God that everybody else says, that man's nuts. Yeah? Maybe, just maybe, he remembered Egypt and how God was merciful to him. He should have lost his wife, amen? Yeah, should have been gone. Should have lost everything. But when he went back to where he should have went back to and built an altar there in Bethel, God was merciful to him and forgave him of all his sins and gave him a brand new start. Hey, look here, church. Has there ever been a time when you've went away from the Lord, but you came back to Him and you found His mercy great? Say amen. That's what makes us do things for God when He calls us to do something, because His mercy is great. Or maybe, just maybe, he just said, you know, I wouldn't have Isaac if it weren't for the Lord anyways. You know, think, man, why would God ask me to give? Why would God ask me to give this? Maybe God puts on your heart to give something. And we say, man, why would He? Look, it all came from the Lord to start with. God asked us to give our children. All six of my children, not a one of them are mine. They're God's. And what God wants to do with them is what I should want for their lives. It doesn't matter where that is and what that looks like. I don't want them. I don't want them because they're not mine. I want God to take them and use them to be a worldwide blessing in the gospel's sake. Because they weren't mine to start with. He's the one that gave them to me. And maybe Abraham just thought, you know what? I wouldn't have Isaac to start with. So I'll give him back to God. In worship. Let me tell you something. The reason why you give what you give on the altar
is because you know Jesus is so worthy. You know Jesus is so worthy. Come on, church. Come on, church. You got to do better than that. The reason you give what you do is because you know Jesus is so worthy. That's all. If it's not for that, it's nothing. When God's worth is exceedingly great, no sacrifice seems worthy to be compared to that worth. No, there's nothing compared because He's so worthy. C.T. said, the great missionary said, when he asked, why do you go to the mission field like that? How do you do it when they treat you that way? He said, because Christ is my reward to start with. Jesus is enough. Jesus is everything. Just having Him, not going to hell, going to heaven, and Jesus being our friend through this life is everything. But you didn't talk about the altar. I know I didn't. Altar number 5 is the altar of proving. At that altar, Abraham was proved, wasn't he? That he loved God more than his most valuable possession or thing in his life. When he put Isaac on that altar, he was saying, God and the worship of God and my altar life is more important than anything else. When you lay your Isaac down, who's heard that song before? You ought to listen to it. When you lay your Isaac down, you're proving to yourself, God already knows, doesn't He? You're proving to yourself that Jesus is worthy above all. And in all things, Christ should have the preeminence. And when we don't lay our Isaac down, we're proving to ourselves Jesus isn't number one. You know what? This is hard preaching right here. I'll be honest with you. This is the proving altar. All other altars seemed easy, but when you're talking about laying the most valuable thing down and giving it to the Lord and letting Him have it and be willing to do that, that's where the searchlight of heaven runs through your heart, doesn't it? The proving altar. I'm fully aware of where I'm at. I'm fully aware of what time it is. But I got the best and sweetest point last. Let me tell you, God is a wonderful, gracious God. What if I ended this sermon right here? There's more to this story than this right here, isn't there? It didn't just end with God telling him, Abraham obeying him, and he's put on the altar. There's more to this, isn't there? Or you're going to find out that it's not only an altar of proving, but it's an altar of provision. God provided a ram in the thicket. Isn't that wonderful? You think, oh, I can't give it. You know what? When you give it, God gives it back. The Bible does say that, doesn't it? Give and it shall be given unto you. Sure. And God saw that Abraham was willing to give Isaac, and all along there was a ram caught in the thicket. Let me tell you, you don't know what's caught in the woods that you can't see. You don't know what's caught in the woods. God knows how to take care of your needs. God knows how to take care of your life. Oh, I couldn't do that. I could never do that. I don't know about that. No, I couldn't do that. You're making all these excuses, but you don't know what ram's caught in the thicket. Our God is a God of provision. He said, I'll provide all your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's got the ram caught in the thicket. It's an altar of provision. It's when we put our all on the altar that we find out that God is our all. I said it's when we put our all on the altar, that's when we find out that God is our all. When we put everything on the altar, we see that He is full of grace, that He has more mercy and more grace than we had never imagined. We find Him to be in verse number 8 or verse number 14, our Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. When you surrender, you find out God, man, I didn't know God could provide like that. Yeah, you didn't find that out until you came and you built an altar and you gave it all to Him, and then He became your Jehovah Jireh. He saw that He did not withhold His Son, verse number 12. God gives to you and I more than we could ever imagine, and He wants to give more to you and I than we could ever imagine, but He's waiting until we'll not withhold anything. He didn't withhold His Son. God of provision. Well, I remember the days as a young man when I stepped out by faith and I worked had to pay my school bill. Had to work 40 hours, 35, 40 hours a week at Crown College, and eating ramen. I didn't have all the fine food I ate today. I remember waiting upon God to provide my needs. I remember checks coming in the mail from Iowa, would never even ask people to give me money. And people would send me money to pay my school bill. What was I doing? I was learning how to build an altar. People don't know how to trust God these days. People don't know how to wait on God. They don't know how to pray. You know why? Because they're not willing to get at the altar and give God their all. And I'm telling you what, when you put your life in God's hands and you surrender, you'll be blessed by the altar. Altar builders are altar blessed. And I'm telling you what, the life of faith is a fun life. It's an adventure. Altar builders are altar blessed. Remember that verse there in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 3? Those that wait at the altar shall be partakers of the altar. Altar builders are altar blessed. Maybe for you today it's an altar of praise. Say, I wouldn't even be here if it weren't for the Lord. I want to build an altar of praise to Him. He's been so good to me. I'm unworthy. He's worthy. I want to build an altar of praise. Who in here think to be appropriate to build an altar of praise? Raise your hand. Oh, yeah. Maybe you need to build an altar of praise. Maybe your prayer life, it's went away. It's vanished away. It's not what it ought to be. You pray for your food. You say a little prayer when it gets rough, and it's just a spare tire, not a steering wheel. Maybe you need an altar of prayer. I need to build that altar back up. There was a time I used to pray more than I am right now, and I build that altar back up. Who in here say, I need to build an altar of prayer? A few hands. Sure. How about that altar of pledge? Now that's serious business. You know you've went away from the Lord, but you need a pledge today. By God's grace and God's help, I'm getting out of Egypt. I'm living for God like I once did. I'm going back to Bethel. I'm going back to the place where I met God, and I'm going to get right with God. Oh, He wants to meet you there. Boy, God loves when you come to the altar. My goodness, because that's where you meet God. I'm at that altar of possession. God's got more for your life than you can ever imagine. You ever think about this, Brother Michael? How much God really wants to do with our lives. But He can't do it because we're stubborn. I wonder all the things that God wants to do with this old boy right here, but I won't get at the altar and surrender like I ought to. I wonder what God wants to do with this church. He's got possessions for us, but they're at the altar. Then there's that altar of proving. That's what God's doing right now. I guarantee you God's got a searchlight in your heart, and He's telling you, what about that? What about this? What about him? What about her? What about that thing? What about that sin? It happens, doesn't it? Put it on the altar. You remember when we were in camp, we used to have a burning. Anybody ever been to a burning before at camp? Nobody? You ever been to a burning at camp? Well, good. You can leave now and say you learned something new. We used to take a piece of paper and we'd write down something that was wrong in our life. And we'd write it down on there. Everybody right here, look right here. We'd write it down, piece of paper. We knew we needed to get rid of it. And we'd go to that fire and we'd throw it in that fire and we'd burn it, trying to remind us we're never going to see that again. We're burning it up and we're never going to return to it. What do you need to burn that's keeping you from the Lord? They're pulling you away. What does that do when you don't burn it? When you don't turn away from it, when you don't repent, and when you don't go towards God? What does that prove? It proves that something else is more valuable to you than Jesus. What keeps you from the things of God? What keeps you from church? What keeps you from the Word? What keeps you from prayer? That's an idol. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. If anything separates you from God, it needs to be put at the altar, given to Jesus and burnt so you can be His for His glory. What's the last thing? When you do all that, you're going to see God meet your needs in a spectacular way because these altars are an altar of provision. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's stand together. Say, Brother Justin, I need to build an altar. I'm not going to ask you what type of altar, but I need to build an altar. I need to put some stones on that altar today. Maybe I need to return to an altar, but God spoke to me about altar building. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. God spoke to me. Look at those hands. Just if you raised your hand, I want you to just come forward and kneel at this altar. You raised your hand, say, I want to be an altar builder. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's all right. Come on. That's right. How about it? Altar of prayer, altar of praise. Just kneel down, talk to the Lord. This is a house of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we need a revival. Sweep our way and tear up our hearts and reveal to us what separates us from you. And may we build an altar to you. Be merciful unto us, O God. And gracious, I pray. Deal with those this morning that are serious. And deal with those that are flippant. Have mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for saving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.